CPA Mobile.
CPA. KO4. WZ.
Goodness, where have you been?
I've been hiding in my basement.
Sorry, I started in a bad spot to see KN4WWZ, KV4CBA.
No, that's fine. That is absolutely fine. I was just joking around. I said I've been hiding in my basement. Nah, I've just been doing a lot of DMR lately.
Hey, well, you'll have to tell me about that because I don't know much about it. Does it require a hotspot or internet?
So I'm using Brandmeister on a TriStar SkyBridge hotspot. However, if South Carolina ever gets any Brandmeister DMR repeaters, you can do it off the repeater like we're doing right now.
I have to repeat most of that because I had to stop again and I was in a very noisy spot there. I don't know what the interference is, but I haven't figured out what it is, but it wipes the repeater out.
I failed to mention I'm also using a 5-watt handheld connected to my nav mount right now because I got a new radio for the car, but I'm having issues getting it programmed. So that makes at least some of it. My finger keeps slipping off the button.
I was programmed mine before I put it in the car. I tell you, using the software that came with the radio, it was real easy to use, and I can't remember what it was, but I could go back anytime and add, you know, frequencies if I want to. But it's good to have a program and software because some of these radios are really hard to program.
The only problem I'm having is it requires an RT system software, and I have the cable but not the software. So that's going to cost me about $50 to get the software. If it still not works, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. I'm having some bad luck here.
Where did you purchase your radio?
I didn't quite exactly purchase it. It was a gift from a fellow ham friend.
Nice. So you've got to buy that software. So $50. I mean, I don't know how hard it is for you to scrape up $50. When I was your age, that was a lot of money. but that's been a long time ago. That was back in the. Let's see, probably in the late 60s, early 70s.
I can understand that completely. I wasn't alive back then, but I do know that times were a lot different than they are now. If anything, history class in school did teach me that. It's the Kenwood TM700A. It's the predecessor to the 710, if that helps you any.
I was having to do a little maneuvering there. Oh, me. Well, it's a little chilly out here. I've been playing tennis, but I played inside, and it was nice and cool inside, but it wasn't, it wasn't cold, and but my windows are fogging up here on the car now. I really need to break down and clean the inside of the glass. The outside's clean, but the inside needs to be clean.
Mustang, she sounds good.
Get a good listen, cause I'm gonna sell it here and probably start. It'll be on the market starting in January, and so I have to sell it, cause I'm buying a new 4Runner.
Alrighty, how much you gonna sell this one? Well, no,
never mind.
I'll talk to you about that off the air.
My dad. You can, look me up on QRZ and shoot me your email, and I can tell you what I'm asking, gonna ask for it. It's a 2012. 5.0 GT, 420 horsepower, 6-speed manual, and with 87,000 miles, which is almost half the mileage that it normally would, a car this age normally would have. So it's got low miles on it for a car that's 11 years old.
You're right. You're right. And it's, I've seen that thing in person. She is a beautiful ride. But a 4Runner, man, if you're getting a four-wheel drive, man, you can take that thing off-road. And I tell you, those things will crawl. And you can climb up steep hills with a 4Runner. I've seen videos of people doing that. You'll have some fun in that thing.
I'm getting a four-wheel drive, and so anywho, but I need to sell this one to put some money back in the bank. Oh me. So we'll see what I can get for it. I may not get near as much as I think it's worth, but anyway, but I'm taking good care of it. It's not all, dented up and scratched up and that kind of thing. For a car this old, it's in good shape. There's not a thing wrong with it.
Roger that, KL4WWP was KB4CDA. Yeah, so, you know, you're talking about getting a new vehicle. My brother's looking at a truck for me. He's going to see if the man wants to part with it. It's a 1989 GMC Sierra 1500 long cab two-wheel drive.
Good luck with that, and I remember my first car. It was, I'm trying to remember what year my parents actually gave it to me, but it was old when they gave it to me. It had like 85,000 miles on it, which back then in the 60s, that was wore out. This is about wore out. You didn't get much more than 100,000 miles out of a car back then. But anyway, let's see. It was a 63 Chevrolet Bel Air, two-door, four-door Bel Air, white. Had a two-speed power glide automatic transmission, 283 small block V8. B you could actually roll start that thing. So it was kind of neat. If the battery was dead, you could get it up 25 miles an hour. You know, if you're on a hill, you could turn the switch on, pull it down in low, and it would, the hydraulic pump was on the drive shaft, and it would turn the pump, and the transmission would start the, turn the engine over and start it for you.
Okay, now that is cool. But Chevy down there, those things, I know some people that would love to have one of those. Those nowadays, I mean, they're high dollars for them things, and they're classic. I mean, those are nice cars. And the point where you mentioned that cars didn't go for so long back then, that's kind of odd, because I hear a lot of the older generations in my family say that the older vehicles tend towards, right? A lot of people have told me that the older cars tend to last longer than the newer ones. So that's the first time I've heard that.
This one, KP4CV8, this one, the cam wore on it, and it would, when if you step down on it, and really, you know, really had to ask for some power from it, pulling a hill or something, it would backfire through the carburetor. And so that's how bad the cam was worn on it. It needed a new camshaft, probably lifters and push rods. But anyway, and it had about 125,000 on it when I sold it. And but it was a plain Jane. It didn't have air conditioning. And it was a four-door, so it really would be worth a whole lot today. Most people want a two-door. And, I mean, this thing, I think they paid like $2,300 for it brand new in 1963.
Which cars are that cheap nowadays, brand new? We all could buy one.
And that was one of the goals of Henry Ford, was to have a car in every home, he made a car that the ordinary man could buy, and you know, not just the rich folks. And you know, I thought that was really neat. He was an interesting man, but I won't get into all that. But he started the assembly line and all that stuff. Follow me. Well, I'm gonna jump out of here. I'm in the garage, and I'm gonna go on in the house, and probably not jump in the shower. But anyway, it's good to talk to you. You take care, and I'll talk to you later. I'll clear out of here if you're fine. Okay, before CPA.
Roger, Dave. It was a pleasure talking to you. I really enjoyed it. And I know exactly what you're talking about with Henry Ford. That was the Model T that he wanted to do that with. And with that, I'll say 73, and you have a blessed night, sir. I'll talk to you again soon. KO4WWZ, back monitoring. KO4NUE, KO4WWZ. Alrighty, nothing heard. KO4WWZ, that's mine.